from KQED.
And now to today's U.S. Supreme Court ruling that a 40-foot cross can remain on public land, which is a victory for religious groups who argued that this World War I memorial cross that stands at an intersection in Maryland did not violate the separation of church and state. Joining us now is Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Good morning, Jessica Levinson.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So can you tell us what the rationale is for the justices in terms of making this ruling?
Absolutely. So as you said in the introduction, there's something called the separation of church and state. And in fact, there's a provision in the First Amendment that's the so-called Establishment Clause that essentially says the government can't promote one religion over another, it can't promote religion in general, and it can't promote non-religion. And so there's this centuries-old 40-foot cross that's in Maryland. It's as a memorial to fallen World War I victims. And people sued and said, that's a cross. It's on government land, and the government pays to maintain it. It sure looks like this violates the Establishment Clause. And what the court said today is, no, it doesn't, because it's been there for so long, it's actually become a community landmark, and has taken on a secular meaning. And so because it's old and because it's established, it's okay.
Can a cross be secular?
Well, it depends. So 7 members of the Supreme Court today said, yes, it can. 2 members said, absolutely not. So Justice Ginsburg and Justice Sotomayor dissented from all parts of this opinion. There were many different parts of the opinion. And what Justice Ginsburg's argument essentially boils down to is, it's a cross. That is inherently a religious symbol. It's always been a religious symbol. It continues to be a religious symbol. So it can be as old as you want, as new as you want, but it wouldn't be appropriate to put, for instance, by the gravesite of a Buddhist soldier or a Jewish soldier or a Muslim soldier. So it's religious.
Well, let me see what our listeners think. Give us your thoughts on the Supreme Court decision, the number 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also reach us on Twitter, Facebook, email, forum at kqed.org, or on our website. So then, Jessica Levinson, what are the broader implications of this ruling? I mean, does it impact other types of displays or what displays are permissible on public grounds, say, like schools or parks?
Or court buildings or public libraries? Absolutely. I think the answer is yes, that this decision is not just confined to war memorials, that if you think about things like, for instance, the Ten Commandments, that what the court's ruling is really saying is, if you have a symbol, even if it was originally religious, but it's been there for so long that people just kind of pass it and don't necessarily feel any sort of religious presence, which of course is something that's very much open to debate, then it will likely be okay. So absolutely, implications not just for war memorials, but as you said, public schools, libraries, courthouses, any type of public building. And what the court really is doing today, I think, is allowing just a little bit of a closer connection between the church and the state.
Well, can you think of any cases or pending cases that could be impacted as a result of this ruling, or past cases?
Well, absolutely. I mean, what's interesting is both the majority and the dissent say, well, the majority says, I'm adhering to past cases. This is entirely consistent with other decisions we've made. And Justice Ginsburg in dissent says, you're really whittling down the Establishment Clause. You're making this, you're essentially making it toothless. So in terms of cases that are coming up, you see cases, for instance, there are some cases challenging the Ten Commandments, that one, I believe, is outside a courthouse in Texas. There's a lot of these cases that tend to come out of Texas and the Fifth Circuit. And I think that any kind of lingering questions from those cases and from other circuits are essentially answered today. What's left unanswered is kind of how old is so old that it's okay, because I think that the way it was Justice Samuel Alito who wrote for the majority, he got a 7-2 majority, and I think the way he got the liberal justices, Elena Kagan and Stephen Breyer, is all of this language about it's well established in the community. But that cross is 100 years old. What about a cross that's 50 years old, mm-hmm. 25 years old? We don't know the answer to those questions.
Well, we're talking with Loyola Law School Professor Jessica Levinson about this morning's Supreme Court decision in a case raising separation of church and state questions. The court ruled that a 40-foot cross can remain on public land. And if you'd like to ask Jessica Levinson your question or register your thoughts on this decision, the time to do it is now, as she's only with us for the half hour. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. Again, 866-733-6786. And Jessica Levinson, can you tell us about this cross? I mean, my understanding is that it's crumbling and that it's pretty expensive to maintain and that the taxpayers are essentially on the hook to maintain it.
That's right. And so there were basically two ways that the taxpayers were involved. The first is that this cross is now in Maryland. It's on government land. And as you said, it's maintained by the government, and it was actually moved a long time ago to government land. And the estimates that I read recently are that it will essentially cost upwards of $100,000 to get the cross looking, frankly, decent. That if you look at pictures of it now, it is, and I mean, of course, this has nothing to do with whether or not it's a religious symbol, but it's crumbling. It essentially looks like a pile of concrete to some people. It's not the grand cross that you think we might have been arguing about. But that's exactly right. I mean, the fight here is that the government is essentially displaying it, and the government is or should be paying to keep it up. And so just like you have a park, and the government has to pay to maintain that, and your taxpayers go to it, so too does it go to the war memorial in this case.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. Bo and Davis, start us off. What do you think?
Well, you know, I was just saying that I think that because of the conservative majority in the Supreme Court at this time, I think that this is just, you know, the beginning of a bunch of, you know, conservative rulings. And I think that a religious relic like this that's, you know, being maintained by you know, not private money is, you know, it certainly meets, you know, every single, you know, facet of, you know, being tied to a religious entity. So, you know, the Establishment Clause is there for a reason. I think we're just, you know, seeing justice be undone.
Bo, thanks. Jessica Levinson, is there a broader play here by religious rights groups?
Well, I would say absolutely, but what's really a couple of things that were really interesting. One is that this is not a narrow 5-4 ruling by just the conservatives against the liberals.
Right.
As we talked about, this is Justice Alito writing for the conservatives and liberal Justice Elena Kagan and fairly liberal Justice Stephen Breyer. And if you listen to oral arguments, you could hear that the two of them were essentially on board because they viewed this as, you know, basically more of a circle, let's say, than a cross, in the sense that it took on a meaning within the community. What's interesting is to think about the fact that Elena Kagan, before she was on the Supreme Court, was the Solicitor General and actually argued in a fairly similar case for the government, saying essentially the argument that won today, which is that a differently shaped cross did not violate the Establishment Clause. And so one has to think, did her role as an advocate in that case inform her thinking? And in this case, what you saw with Justice Breyer is he didn't join all of the conservative court's opinion. And there's some, you know, very much in the weeds arguments that he makes about what's the proper test to use in these circumstances. But he was comfortable with the ultimate conclusion. So I think that Bo is exactly right. The court is not lurching to the right, but is essentially hurtling quickly to the right. And we'll see that before a week from Friday, because they have some really big decisions coming up. But today, this is a pretty strong majority with people from all the ideological spectrum.
Well, let me go next to Marlene in Oakland. Hi, Marlene.
Hi. How are you?
Well, what's on your mind?
This is is on my mind. I wanted to give myself a little bit of context. I am definitely a liberal from the Bay Area, but I kind of think in general we have larger issues in this world than monuments. I don't really know about the monuments exactly that you're speaking about or whatnot, but this is my thinking. I don't really think that religion owns crosses or morality or integrity or anything like that. So I also believe that I think there's a larger context here, and it's kind of I'm just wondering like what you guys are thinking about in terms of that. I think that everybody can own different symbols and have a connection to all sorts of concepts. Hmm. And it's not just religion that owns them.
Marlene,
so in terms of monuments staying in place or whatnot, I think not all that important. And we definitely have larger issues. And
Marlene, thanks. I think what we're hearing, Jessica Levinson, is also, yeah, just some of the lack of clarity, really, that is still being even reflected in the way that the justices responded to this case, and even the liberal justices, as you mentioned, that there is just a lot of gray area here. And this question of whether or not these symbols, after a certain period of time, really don't belong to anybody and are secular. But Jessica Levinson, who brought the suit?
Well, so it was the American Humanist Association, a group that has sued in similar cases, and they essentially say that it's in part our job to uphold the Establishment Clause or ensure that it's upheld. And when we find a religious symbol, whether it be new or old, it's our job to sue and say to the court, you need to adhere to the Establishment Clause. I think it's really interesting that the caller essentially embraced what the majority said here, which mm-hmm. is you can have something that's a religious symbol, but at a certain point, you look at it and it takes on a secular view. And that really is the heart of the disagreement here between the court, where Justice Ginsburg is going to walk by that. Granted, it's crumbling. Granted, it looks pretty terrible, frankly, I think at this point. She's going to walk by that cross and say, that's a Christian cross. There's just no two ways about it. Other people are going to walk by and say, this must be a memorial for the people who died in World War I. And it takes on a different type of very secular meaning.
Well, David writes, and kind of underscoring what the caller was saying and what the justices, the majority justices were saying, David says, given that military cemeteries have long used crosses for those who have died, this symbol with the word valor along the bottom stands more for the honored dead. I strongly support separation of church and state, but if SCOTUS did take down that cross, would they then go through Arlington and take all crosses and Stars of David down?
Yes, that was exactly the kind of slippery slope that was argued about in the court, which is, and people said this, what about Arlington? And in fact, in the majority opinion, what Justice Alito says is, I don't think we're promoting religion here. In fact, if we ordered Maryland to take this down, I think it would look like we're hostile to religion, and that in and of itself violates the Establishment Clause. And so it's interesting, I think, what we're hearing from listeners, some self-identifying as liberals, is feeling agreement with the majority in this case, that you can view religious symbols as something other than that. And, I mean, you said there's a little gray area here. I think I would argue, you know, there's a small sliver of black, there's a little sliver of white, and then in between you have essentially still after today 90% gray, because these are such difficult questions, and frankly, there's no objective right or wrong answer. People tend to look at objects and have different visceral reactions as a result of looking at them.
Yes, it was one of the thoughts I had as soon as I read the decision. Does it give clarity to this question of what does going too far look like when it comes to religious symbols? I will read Rosie's comment, who says, a cross is a cross is a cross. This is another example of privileging religion over the rest of us, just as in allowing healthcare providers to withhold care from anyone whose behavior they don't like on so-called religious grounds. So there are definitely people who are concerned that this is potentially a slippery slippery slope, this decision today towards other religious freedom type cases. Let me go quickly to Gabe in Palo Alto. Hi, Gabe. What are your thoughts?
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering, did the justices say anything about at the time the cross was built or installed, was it legal or illegal then? I know you said they didn't define how old is old enough. And so, you know, is there a point at which it goes from illegal to legal? The reason I ask personally is I don't have a problem with the cross, but as someone who's Jewish, I wonder if I install the Star of David, how long would I have to wait to be in the clear?
Thanks, Gabe. Jessica Levinson, and we just have about a minute.
Sure. That's such a good question. So I would, the court doesn't specifically say the moment they, you know, that they designed the cross and that they moved it to public lands, that then it wasn't okay, but they waited long enough that now it is. But what they do talk about is that they say the passage of time indicates that there's now a strong presumption in favor of constitutionality. And I think that that's what we're going to see with more of these cases, where the longer the time that goes by, kind of the better it is for the constitutionality. Now, in general, what does this mean for religious cases going forward? In terms of the cases, well, I hear the music playing us off.
Yes, so just 10 seconds.
What I would say is I think that this is a conservative court going forward.
All right. Jessica Levinson, professor of law at Loyola Law School, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much.
And thanks to our listeners for your questions and comments. Another half-hour forum is next. We look at YouTube, so stay with us for that.